It may have been, but then I paused it. However, right after you said that joke, which I wish I had recorded, I unpaused it.
Okay. Well, then I'll get started. The city of Townsville is not under attack. Actually, we just haven't named the place as a group yet. After the definitely not adventurers left the tower and went through the fairy forest, where they checked to make sure that the mushrooms were slowly receding and that there weren't any googogs scattered around, they made their way to this place, a small walled town in the northern center of Dunmere. They were greeted by one of the guards, Matthias, who told them a bit about the town and then directed them to the central hub, where they found the inn and the general store. After their first meal in a week, that wasn't something they had to forage, a meal brick, or tubers that might not have been washed quite as well as the younger Ugog said they were, a little dirt won't kill you, and some somewhat enlightening conversation with the inn staff, the group has settled down to regroup and decide what to do next. It's been a little under 2 weeks since the fire at Dunmarch. The name of the place is unknown. This is Plus Ultra. My name is Ellie, and I'm here with Beth, Crash, Io, and Jen. And, what are you up to?
I'm resting my feet a bit, because, oh, we have been walking and walking, walking and walking.
And walking.
And walking. And a bit more walking to boot.
I feel like we would walk 500 miles.
Maybe we already have.
I don't think we would walk
500 more.
To get back home.
Yeah.
Well, I believe old Rob is having bacon and Aaron. Because he doesn't speak French.
Yeah, I saw that. That was right up there. Yeah.
Not French. French.
Yeah.
Or Frenchy. I don't know which. I like the thing that they do in the audiobooks for Discworld, where anytime they're reading something that looks like it's written in Elizabethan English or something is written like old timey, like The narrator for the audiobook always pronounces the E at the end of the words. And the good wife answered that she could speaky no Frenchy.
I vote that we take a rest while some people talk other people's ears off because he hasn't been talking to anybody. It wasn't us for a while. Maybe he'll pick up some good gossip.
Oh, old Rob has already started doing that.
Exactly.
Okay, he's all set.
Yes. I do have an intellect edge of 3. And, there's this thing.
What I forgot to do.
Gather intelligence is worth 2 intellect points. So, my math tells me I gain an intellect point for using this ability.
No.
What if I want it to work that way really hard?
You'd probably have to roll pretty high on the die to convince the GM of this.
Well, if I use my intellect booster, it kind of does work that way. Because I have an intellect booster cipher right now. But I'm not going to do that. That would be a total waste. That would raise my intellect edge to 4 to use a 2-point ability. No. I'm saving that for when I'm spending effort on something. Gather intelligence. When a group of people, a caravan, a palace, a village. Oh, village. Yes, let's go with that one. But when in a group of people, you can ask around about any topic you choose and come away with useful information. You can ask a specific question or you can simply obtain general facts. This is otherwise known as the ability to use when the GM desperately wants to give you exposition, but hasn't thought of an excuse to do so yet. This is a gift unto the GM. Unless the GM doesn't think it is, in which case it's still a gift unto the GM because it forces them to work on their improv skills, which I've learned from being on the other side of that table. Anyway, you also
remind
get a...
Remind me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to spend edge when you use it?
No.
Okay.
Edge is... It's actually opposite. It's a coupon. So anything that I would have to spend intellect points on, Edge reduces the cost by that amount, but not below zero. My understanding is Edge does not work to reduce damage, however. It's not armor. If I want to reduce damage, right, I need some kind of armor, which doesn't tend to usually work on intellect damage, except for certain values of armor.
Tinfoil hats?
I believe I added that to Kobolds in Space, if I remember correctly. oh, wait, I did. And if you took damage, it wouldn't work until you had a long rest, but basically a nap. And then during the nap, you pieced it back together with tape or something. You also get a good idea of the general layout of the location involved. Note the presence of all major sites and perhaps even notice obscure details. For example, not only do you find out if anyone in the palace has seen the missing boy, but you also get a working knowledge of the layout of the palace itself. Note all the entrances and which are used more often than others, and take notice that everyone seems to avoid the well in the eastern courtyard for some reason. Action to initiate, about an hour to complete. Old Rob is going to take his time. It's not going to be an hour to complete. And I will tell you that Old Rob is going to start off trying to acquire general facts. For one, he's not sure what questions he should be asking. And two, he's pretty sure that if he knew what questions to ask, he'd probably come off as being a bit stranger than he already is, you know, wearing a wide-brimmed straw hat and a bathrobe. If he was like, well, hello, what can you tell me about whole populations disappearing and strange trinkets that if you smash them together cause a big fire? Also, have you seen any sky? Any oogogs? Old Rob is not doing that.
Okay, I've dropped my rough working map of the town into chat.
Oh, neat.
Ooh.
Procreate.
Oh.
Procreate on my iPad.
It looks good.
Nice.
Yeah. Actually, they just all ordered their houses from Sears.
I mean, that's, yeah. Yeah. That's what our subdivision is like.
Yeah.
I mean, it's entirely possible that, you know, when they got started out, they got shipped stuff in, you know, if everything you're building looks the same, then you can teach people how to build it. And, you know, you build the first one. It's like, yeah.
For listeners who are not clear, who are not familiar with the history, Sears Roebuck and Company literally used to sell house packages. They would sell them. They would send them to you flat packed, and then you would get all your neighbors to help you put them up.
You could buy almost anything out of a Sears catalog.
You really could.
And in some small towns, they were used instead of an English primer to teach students, because everyone had a Sears catalog.
Fair enough.
But there are still in the United States some early 1900s Sears Roebuck mass manufactured houses still standing.
Oh. There's a website for those called searshouses.com. That
sounds right.
Yeah. Group of researchers who look for Sears houses around the United States. Maintain the national database.
That's cool.
I understand that we've gone from plot to talking about house construction. yeah. This is not a negative comment. I am amused by this. I'm greatly amused by this. But I like how something as simple as, you know what, some of these houses are mirror imaged or they're a slight different scale. Mm-hmm. And that's enough variation to not prevent you from knowing, oh, it's the same drawing used over and over again, but create enough variety to make that be okay in the map design.
Mm-hmm.
It's neat. Was that a brush that you had in Procreate?
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. That is cool.
I thought so too.
Definitely.
Now I kind of want to open one of my art programs and play with the brush settings, but not while we're gaming. Anyway. So far as you know.
Okay. Yes, we have a map. So I propose we name the town Button.
button?
Because the way that the paths go through it, it looks like someone has stitched down a button.
It does. Mm-hmm. Named after its founder, Benjamin.
Actually, I must say it would have to be Buttonton. Button Town.
Okay.
Buttonton.
Buttonton.
Yeah.
Buttontonville. The city of Buttontonville.
Oh, no.
She's not big enough to be a city. The borough. The borough of Buttontonville.
Anyway, sorry.
No worries. Somebody had to name the town.
This possibly says a lot about how I tend to stitch down buttons, but never you mind that.
Ah, okay.
When I stitch a button, it stays stitched for quite a while.
Wait, if you stitch it like this, then wouldn't that prevent you from putting the button through anything?
It's clearly ornamental.
By the way, I want to say in advance I practiced for this session, but I might still get things wrong.
Game is fluid enough, it'll probably work, whatever, you know?
You can always retcon.
Well, we all have day jobs, except for those of you who don't.
This is actually mostly for the listeners.
Okay.
Okay, so you know that the blacksmith sometimes turns into a cow.
And then they go home.
And then they go home.
And they go home.
Mm-hmm. Actually, apparently what they do is they go to the church at the top of the map.
Okay.
And the
that
priest, the priest up there keeps her in the basement until the curse wears off. There are rumors about the Tanner, but just that there's something weird about him. Nobody, like, he's a perfectly friendly guy, and except that, well, he smells like pee all the time.
That's but, part of
Tanners.
Tanners, yeah.
But he's a perfectly friendly guy. Most of the town likes him. There's just something weird about him.
It's the mercury poisoning.
The mayor has the big house to the southeast that has the little secondary wall around it, and the wealthier citizens have their houses on the east side. So they've got the lawn around their houses. It's not like they're not mansions. They're not even McMansions. They're just slightly larger houses. And they're built in the area that nobody else has built on yet. I'm trying to think of like good gossip to give you. You know, adventurers come through occasionally. Some of them come from the north. Some of them come from the west. It's rare that they come from the south. Sometimes groups like you come through from the east, and they're looking to start being adventurers. But it's pretty rare that an established adventuring group goes out and then comes back and then goes beyond this point. Because, you know, the Outer Ring is still mostly tent cities. This is really the first sign of real civilization if you're coming back from the north of Dunmere. And so, you know, adventurers come back, and sometimes they have great adventure stories, and sometimes they have almost nothing to their name. One adventurer traded the innkeeper like this trinket for 3 meals and a day's worth of in time. Not like in time, but just a room. a room and 3 meals and a bath. You know, she doesn't know what it does. He didn't know what it did, but he picked it up somewhere out in the wilds, and he didn't have any money, so he decided to trade it to her. Other than that, I really can't think of anything. Like, there just isn't that much going on here.
Well, that in itself is information.
Yeah.
If there was something going on, well, that would imply that somebody was messing with something.
It's true.
If Iago is doing anything out in this particular neck of the woods, he's keeping his head down. Although, granted, his head is a little bit closer to the ground than it was before, what with getting hit in the head with a rock like that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They've never heard of your friend, Jim. They've never seen anybody who meets that description.
Well, Jimmy. Jim.
As far as they know, neither Jim nor Iago has been here.
Figures.
And we already know about the problems they had with mushrooms that cleared up after a while. Before we did anything.
Oh, yeah. They're very pleased to know that people can go through the forest again without hearing those voices and getting tempted inward.
Should be fixed.
Yeah, other than that, hey, do you want to buy this thing off me? I don't know what it does.
What does it look like?
It's the trinket that the adventurer brought back.
What does it look like?
It looks like, I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it. Imagine a lowercase letter I with no space between the stalk and the dot and like almost Art Deco wings.
It's the fabled microphone of Cavil.
Who is this NPC speaking to specifically?
It's the innkeeper talking to the group.
It's the innkeeper. Oh, okay. Can I see that? I'm gonna hold my hand out.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Like turn it over. Is it metal? Like kind it's, of like tap it and see. Is like that metal?
It seems like it's. It's not. Sorry, I had to reach over and grab something. It feels kind of like ceramic.
Oh, so somebody had a kiln somewhere. What does this do? Is it just? Does it have meaning? Is it decorative? Is it important? Is it just for fun? What is it for?
Well, that's they didn't know.
True.
We need our scholar.
Mm-hmm.
This point.
Yeah.
Stefan looks up from the atlas.
Yeah, I'll hand the item over to Devin.
Can I identify whether this is a cipher?
Well, let's see. You can go ahead and try. And are there skills that you would like to add to that?
I have the magic training tier 1 ability, and it makes me trained in that. And I have an intellect edge of 3, so I can add a free level of effort.
Okay. Well, that brings it down to an 8. This isn't a cipher, but it isn't not a cipher. It's the same kind of thing that ciphers are.
Interesting.
So question.
Mm-hmm.
I have, I am practiced in identifying. I am trained in seeing through deception. Where is that other thing? And, I can see through matter for 3 intellect points, and I have an intellect edge of 3, which means I can do that for free. I would like to not be the primary investigator, but I would like to provide additional assistance to Devin in identifying this thing.
Okay.
So, not saying that old Rob would definitely know what it is, unless his history local comes into play, but just like, oh, yeah, well, there's a hollow spot there, and this part here is, you know, and I'm fairly certain that no one has washed this in about, wipes a finger over one side of it, licks it, and says, 8 years, give or take a month.
It has been a long time since this has had a bath.
And I believe it's been used to cook last night's stew.
Also possible.
It's long handled. It's good for stirring. The little wings on the side, you know, help create eddies. Mixes all the little bits together.
Interesting.
And it carries the flavor over from one stew to the next. It's like sourdough starter, but for soup. Never, ever do this.
Oh my.
This is the same kind of thing that the beetle icons are.
Somewhere out there was a wizard who just made microphones.
It would be a very difficult to hold microphone if it were a microphone.
Okay. Then my mental image of it is not the same as what it actually is. That's fine.
Yeah, I was trying to draw it and gave up mostly because my Apple Pencil died. No, I just did that. There's a little thing that I have to use to charge it, and it usually stays on a particular part of my desk, and it isn't there. So I need to find out what happened to it.
And Apple likes to make it weird to charge peripherals. Looking at you, magic mouse that has to be plugged in upside down.
What?
There's a rechargeable Apple mouse that you have to turn upside down to plug in.
Oh,
geez. So you cannot use it while you're...
The charging port is on the bottom.
Okay.
Somebody 3D printed a housing so that you could charge it and use it at the same time, but it's unwieldy.
Wow. Yeah. Like, I use a lot of Mac stuff, but I don't use the Apple mouse at all.
Apple mice are terrible. I hate them. And I say this as someone who uses pretty much everything Apple, except the mice. Yeah. Logitech trackball. Logitech trackball.
Logitech makes good. Sorry.
Where are you while you're examining this thing?
Probably right in front of the innkeeper because it's technically theirs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, she's wandered off. If you disappear, she's going to yell for the guards.
All right.
This will be the most action they've seen in months.
Okay, that's fine.
We just have the one guard that we talked to yelling up at the tower, like, I think someone's yelling for us. Edie, is someone yelling for us? Yeah.
Yeah.
should we go see what they're hollering about?
Yeah.
All right, you coming with me, or are you gonna stay up there?
Yeah.
I asked one or the other. Yeah, that's a tautology. That is a tautology, isn't it, Edie?
No, it's an indeterminate answer.
I have never heard Edie say more words. In my head canon, this is a married couple, yes. Mm-hmm. Their morning breakfast routine is pretty much this, but other conversations.
Oh my.
So you have discovered two major things about it. Well, three major things. First, it is like the beetle icons. It's the same kind of thing as the beetle icons. Second, Devin, you have discovered a complicated hinge system at the base of the wings. And third, Rob, you've found that the dot on the eye will click toward the eye. Like you can click it like the top of a pen.
It's a fidget. What does this do? Click.
No!
What did it do?
It clicked.
Dun, dun, dun.
It clicked. Okay.
Well, how are you supposed to figure out what it does if you don't do anything with it? Besides, it didn't do anything. See? Click.
So it's got to have some kind of like device in it letting you click it, right?
Make sure that if it doesn't let you click it so many times that it catches on fire or something.
Ooh, that'd be interesting. Click.
It's already been fired, right? Maybe.
Oh, no, we don't want it to catch in fire here.
No. Firing clay. It gets you that, solidity to the clay that it was before you put it in the kiln. But never mind. I know too much stuff about blacksmithing and such, so.
Well, yes, we don't want to catch the inn on fire, like if it's some variant of the, the thems.
Unlike the firing of metals, firing of ceramics creates a chemical reaction that physically changes the properties of the material being fired. Although, technically, that happens in metal too, but instead of being a chemical change where it turns from one matter to another kind of matter, you are cleaning out all of the impurities. They turn into carbon and just flake away as slag. Mm-hmm. I read about it in a book once.
Evan, you've discovered that if you do them both at once, you can get the wings to fold back. So they rotate so that they're 90 degrees from where they were. And then then you can start folding them inward toward the body of the device.
This thing a magic butterfly?
I don't know.
And if you fold it just right, it turns into Starscream.
No, we don't want Starscream. Starscream's a nuisance.
Old Rob will get along just fine then.
Now, what have you done with Megatron?
Kicked him into space.
That's my job.
I learned it from watching you in the 80s. Only a very small percentage of any listener base we could possibly hope to achieve would get that reference.
Yep.
And yet.
In order. Adelina, what are you doing?
Depends on where we're sitting. Are we sitting, like, are we getting breakfast right now, or what are we doing? Are we in rooms?
Dinner, I think.
It's dinner, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you haven't arranged to stay overnight yet.
Okay. All right. I'm going to grab a menu and see what looks good.
Take me a little while.
Yeah. Uh-huh. As I recall, it's basically stew or something else.
Mm-hmm. Stew sounds good.
Yeah, I don't remember what the other thing was. Yeah. But the
menu is a giant one of those big folding cards. And on the inside, one page says whatever we have. And the other page says see page one.
Well, at least really much.
But it is designed that they can pull out one card and put another card in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she'll order that.
Okay. Devin, what are you up to now that you have figured out that you can fold this device?
I am continuing to observe, mostly.
Okay. Observe the device or just observe in general?
Observe the device.
Okay. Are you manipulating it at all, or are you just letting it sit there?
I will manipulate it a bit after safely stowing any books I had out away.
Okay. Yeah, that's a fair cop. The last time you had one of these, it set the town on fire.
Well, not when we had it, but yeah.
The last time someone messed with one of these, it set the town on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Karasinda, what are you up to?
Observing Devin and eating some stew that she ordered earlier on because, well, stew is stew.
Indeed.
Eat some food, observe Devin playing with the thing, try to figure out if there's anything that she can figure out about what it looks like or what it's doing. Actually, she's got an ability. She's got that scan thing. It's not alive, though, so it's presumably not alive. Does it look like it's representing anything that used to be alive?
If you squint, it could represent a person with wings.
Not a butterfly person, is it? Or a bird person?
Still not making me think it isn't something to do with Cavil.
Cavil has little teeny tiny wings.
And Rob, what are you doing?
Well, the GM has not given us a GM intrusion. However, the GM has given the player a GM intrusion because the player's favorite kind of fidget is the kind that goes click, as evidenced by how many mechanical pens and pencils the player has destroyed since childhood. So, old Rob is going to try to argue, if the point is pressed, that he's helping. But really, whether or not he's pressed, he is going to keep pressing the part that goes click anytime he sees an opening to press it. The fact that Devin said no the first time might actually have encouraged him.
Oh, wow. Okay.
GM has been setting the scene for the GM intrusion.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Devin, you have managed to get the wings rotated back and folded down, and you can hold it like they're kind of spring-loaded, so you have to hold them in.
Click.
To get them to hold against the body. Old Rob, Devin is distracted by the fact that the wings are kind of spring-loaded, so you have to hold them against the body, and now is a perfect opportunity for you to click that top.
I've already clicked it.
The inn's gone.
What?
The village is gone. You are standing in a field. The grass is about knee-height. It's a yellowed green, and it stretches as far as you can see.
Is that all of us, or just...
All of you.
What?
Is our food still here?
No.
The table is gone.
I think we found out what it does.
If you click it again, do we go back?
I've already clicked it again.
It does nothing. But you can hear a very, very faint ticking coming from the device.
I don't like
that. Not a good sign. That is not a good sign.
It might send us back after a certain amount of time.
Or it might blow up.
It's ticking like a watch.
Are we sure it's not ticking like a fuse?
Fuses don't tick. They sizzle.
Mm-hmm. Everybody, please give me a roll and tell me whatever tell me what you roll after whatever modifiers you think you would apply to noticing or perceiving things.
Would this include history local?
No, just noticing or perceiving.
I don't think I have any skills that would help with that, but yay, free level of effort. But what I rolled on the die was a 9.
Okay.
Let me figure out what would
work. Oh, of course you get 20. I used up the bad roll for you.
I added in the modifiers I was told to add in.
Oh, I didn't.
I rolled 3. I don't think any modifier is going to help that.
I got, an 8.
I would have rolled a 12 with your roll. I was saying that if Old Rob had Karasinda's roll, he still would have rolled a 12. I was not including see-through Rob, matter.
Actually, I'm going to give you see-through matter.
I used my edge to do a level of effort instead.
Okay. No, I'm gonna say see-through matter makes this easier.
Like a perfectly spherical cow.
Everybody knows that there's a wind blowing from the east. The wind blows from the east. In this, like, in Dunmere, the winds come off the sea, so they blow from the east. Devon and Adelina, you hear something. It's rhythmic. You can't tell where it's coming from. Rob, like the brown bear, you see all. And off in the distance to the east, there is a group of riders coming your way.
Are they of the storm?
Do we even have horses?
I have a distinct hypothesis.
Or did we
about
eat
where
horses?
We are?
Where? When?
Is death coming with them?
Well, exactly. I think that we are exactly where we were, and somewhere else.
If you put those wings back the way that you found them, do and click it again, do we go back or what?
I don't think we know.
Do we have our stuff with us?
Oh, yes. Your stuff is with you.
Oh, good. We have our packs and whatnot. I was enjoying that stew.
When we went back in time, everything we'd eaten stayed there. It made such a mess.
Ew.
Well,
I actually do have a question.
There are historical things about people showing up from somewhere else. So these writers might understand what happened. Kind of.
Do the writers look like they're approaching us in a threatening way? At speed? Or just, they had to be going in this direction?
They happen to be going in this direction. And yes, you know what horses are, but they are fairly rare. The primary beast of burden, but like you have sheep, you have goats, you have oxen, you have cattle. Horses are fairly rare. Like there is a herd of horses and it's pretty jealously guarded, but they're not unknown.
Don't know why.
Sorry,
horse milk tastes horrible.
Okay.
Oxen are cattle with a job. An ox is just a cow or a steer or presumably a bull, that's been trained to do a job.
Oxen are specifically steers.
Never cows? Okay.
And an ox walks.
Oxen are always male, always steers, as far as I know. And yes, trained to do a job.
And what I know about an ox is it walks slower than a human's walking pace and is washed over by a knoll.
And is and Pretty Foot is a good ox. And that is a plug for a T. Kingfisher book, but never mind that.
Swordheart, I think. I think that one's Swordheart.
Wiki says that sometimes cows are used in some areas, but steers are more useful, probably.
Well, yeah, you can tell them which way to go.
I'm going to throw things at you, Crash.
You'd have to throw over multiple state lines, and you don't have a trebuchet.
I'll figure something out.
Well, good luck. I'm behind 7 proxies.
The whole point was that I was distinguishing between working cattle and grazing and dairy cattle.
Yep.
I love the plot for this campaign. I love the world building. And for some reason that I know it infuriates others on occasion, or it has infuriated others on occasion, I love our digressions because they're still somehow sort of related to the topic most of the time. But not really.
How many riders have we got coming in our direction?
How many riders do we even have in this setting? Yo. Oh, writer is what I thought you said. You said rider. Oh. But writer would also be why we have this many digressions.
Yeah, well. Or ADHD. ADHD will do it real easy.
Yep.
Rob, you see four.
I'm going to name that one Pestilence. That one Famine.
No, they're not on the right color horses.
Have you considered they might have their own names? Not appreciate you naming them terrible things?
I just want one of them to have a loud booming voice and have a near Rob experience.
Devin sticks his arm up in the air and tries to wave to the riders.
Those better not be bandits.
No, in fact, well, as they grow closer, you realize they do seem to be armored, and they're carrying weapons, but they are quite large, and their skin is various shades of blue.
Devin, what species is that?
Drenai.
No, those can are horns, tails, and hooves.
You can roll. This is going to be hard.
Does having an asset to pre-war legend help me here?
It does.
And I will spend a couple of intellect points to get two levels of effort.
Okay. You also still have you studied as a cipher.
You're right, I do. I would like to use that as well. So that eases it by four levels total.
Okay. Go ahead and give me a roll.
Nat 20.
Cipher. 12.
And you have four levels of...
One from the you studied, one from having an asset to...
You make it exactly.
Yay.
Like I said, this was going to be a hard roll. These meet the descriptions you've heard and read of Tuwati.
Bless you.
They were supposedly a nomadic people. There's not a whole lot recorded about them.
I believe they're Tuwati.
Never heard of that.
All right.
And this is not the place where you think of Tuwati as living. From all the records that you've read, they live in deserts.
How did they end up here?
All right, there it is. Tall tusks. Huge.
I suppose
deserts.
They may have immigrated. Or if we're unlucky, they're invading.
More power to them, Spine.
Maybe they're just going somewhere and don't care about us.
They draw closer. They were on the horizon when Rob spotted them.
Okay.
It's going to take a minute for them to get here.
All right.
Devin keeps waving and we'll start to approach them.
Be careful. Let's hope they're friendly.
I'll follow behind Devin.
Okay. The one in front raises an arm. With their palm facing you, and like fingers splayed.
All right,
not like splayed, probably... but like they're not raising a fist; they're raising a.
They're saying hello.
Raising a hand,
but they're.
It looks like they're either saying hello or telling us to halt.
Or trying to give us the highest of fives.
Their horses are all either bay or chestnut.
And probably huge horses.
They are, yeah.
I'd imagine all the horses we know of are practically ponies or very small.
Something like that, yeah.
Those are big horses. Feed a lot of people.
You can tell as you get close, they are using saddles, but they don't have stirrups. And their saddles are... Either hanging from their saddles or covering their saddles are brightly decorated fringes.
They must have thighs like iron, with no stirrups.
Mm. As you approach one of them, like the three of them start going to the north, to your left, and one of them peels off and comes over to the group.
Oh, okay.
And they slow the horse down and come to a stop basically right in front of you.
Little wave.
Hello!
Hello.
I sure do hope we speak the same language.
Is there any chance you know where we are?
And when?
He is the largest of the Duwata you've seen. And she has, her skin is, if you go down in the ocean until you can almost not see the sky overhead anymore, it's that kind of blue. Oh. And the only reason you know it's not black is because her hair is. It reaches her waist and it's in a very tight braid down the center of her back. And she looks down at you and she says, "Heil fremden, quite a wick here bringeth."
Oh boy.
I think I sort of got that.
Hail and well met. Oh boy.
Oh.
Got my walking stick, sort of head, forehead to walking stick.
She waves back to the group and yells, "Come hinga, half done." And another one of the Tuwati breaks off from the group and comes over to you. He is smaller only by comparison. His hair is shorter than hers and is just like he's got a ribbon around it. Not a ribbon, but like a you know what I mean.
A hair tie or something.
Yeah. His skin is lighter and more purple, and he wears gold rings around both of his ears. And his eyes have a faint glow across their entire surface.
Interesting.
I do rather like the colorful people. Easy on the eyes.
There are some words here I'm going to have trouble pronouncing.
Okay, that's fine. Go for it.
The first one says to the second one, "Kinir kinligleikrin unger frimansins tunga fetha. Fartfim kantvel." And the second one says, "Freista." And he looks down at you and says, "Hello, strangers. What brings you here?"
Oh, thank goodness.
Oh, good.
Magical artifact.
Yes, that.
Yep, that.
Oh,
unexpected.
Okay. You are like Angus. Devin, you know that name. That's one of your students' names.
Angus. He's safe?
Yes, he is with the tribe. I can take you to him.
Be much obliged.
Am I saying this right? My pronunciation is not good.
You are perfectly understandable.
Oh, good. And he shouts to the rest of the group in one of the other languages. And they come together. And he and the first one have a back and forth. All right, we will. He's not sure what the words are.
Hmm.
How heavy your packs?
Oh, not that heavy.
Oh, I'm carrying mine, so it can't be too heavy, I hope. Heft up the pack,
yes,
and shoulder, yes, it, since it was probably at her. Suppose we
you
can start
get
walking.
You get here, and he reaches back and pats the back of the horse.
Oh, okay.
And we take you.
Okay. I hate to say this, sir, but I think you're going to have to lift me up that high. I've never seen a horse that big before.
Oh, yes. Before he can say anything else, the first one comes around and says, "Come," and grabs one of you and just hauls you up onto the back of the horse.
I attempt to use my intimidation skill on gravity.
You are easier to lift onto the back of someone's horse.
I think Adelina would be really hard to grab from the ground unless they're like tipping over the horse a lot to pick her up. She's just
She absolutely does.
Okay.
She leans over in the saddle, picks you up, sets you on a horse, and straightens back up.
Oh, thank you.
This does not seem to require abnormal effort for her.
Imagine, if you will, a crane in the shipping center of a harbor.
Oh, no. Okay.
Just be careful. These old bones are a little fragile sometimes.
And as soon as you're on the backs of the horses and clinging to the Tuwati, I hope.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
They kick the horses into action. Sort of do not the whipping thing, but you know what I mean, to the reins.
Yeah, where you just... Yeah, I get it.
You give it a little shake.
And
signal with the reins.
You ride off to the west.
Clinging.
What time of day is it?
We're going to take a break for about 5 minutes.
Okay.
What time of day is it?
Yeah. All right.
Ellie? Would you please pause the recording?
Yes, but just real quick, what time of day is it?
Oh, it is the second half of the second half of daylight.
So we're riding off into the sunset. That's all I needed to know.
You are, in fact, riding off into the sunset.
Lovely. I'm going to pause it now on that note. And hello, this is Future Crash. And by Future Crash, I mean still in the past for you, but several weeks in the future in regards to the rest of that recording. So there was an audio glitch, and we thought everything was working fine, but really what I was doing was I was recording this microphone that I'm using right now for my own input and also the input of everyone else. So what's worse than hearing just yourself in a recording? Hearing yourself with a reverb. That's what I had. So here's a recap of what happened. The people who we encountered were the Tuwati. That wasn't where they were supposed to be, but that's where they were. And they had met up with Angus, who was one of Devin's students, who was lost when the whole town went poof and got sent back in time. Now, a lot of time had happened for Angus. Angus had actually grown to be an old man and had spent his time teaching the Tuwati everything he knew, including how to speak our language as opposed to the old English that they speak. And we had a wonderful back and forth. They agreed to take us with them. They were heading towards the mountains. It was going to be several days worth of riding, but they had large horses, so that was okay. And as soon as we're getting ready to head out, bink, the timer on that little artifact that Devin was playing with, definitely not old Rob's doing whatsoever. Old Rob didn't press buttons. That you can prove, nothing was recorded so far as, you can go back, never mind. In any case, it stops ticking and we're back in the inn and no time has passed. So we have this neat little thing that lets us go back in time, and we know for certain, unless it was a mass hallucination, that people from the town were sent back in time, but scattered because Devin was by himself. Not Devin, Angus was by himself. And so, yeah, that's what we got. So thank you everyone for listening. Thank you everyone for playing on behalf of everyone who was not recorded. And yes, this is upsetting to me. And don't forget, EO's Mom Writes Books at ElizabethMcCoy.com. Jen has a blog at BookofJen.net and a podcast on Diablo and Blizzard-related stuff at ShatteredSoulstone.com. And we have a Patreon, patreon.com/CogwillGaming. Help us keep the lights on with other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Shenshen, Walter, and Patriot Emeritus Cindy. We have a website, aaronbsmith.com/cogwheel, and you can follow us on the Fediverse at is.aaronbsmith.com/@cogwheel. And until next time, well, I can tell you the next recording should be better, because we've already done two of them.